What else do you have coming up here that you'd like for the listeners to know about as far as getting around the state and getting the message out?
You know, I think in Fremont County, that was a very interesting discussion because
I have an attachment to Fremont County, by the way, so it always piques my interest when you say that.
Yeah, so we should talk about that at some point. Fremont County, in the discussion, I suggested to the people there that we've got to start thinking a little bit differently on how we talk to people, especially the 490,000 or so unaffiliated or leans right voters that we've got to make sure vote Republican on top of our base in this coming election. And that was to say, look, guys, I think we need to stop talking on every one of our discussions about the Second Amendment. And people, you know, bristle at that thought process because I'm an ardent Second Amendment supporter. I own guns. And they say, how can you stop talking about the Second Amendment? And I said, well, because I think the Democrats know that we own that issue. You know, no matter what happens in the world, we're not going to give up on our Second Amendment. We have defenders in RMGO and the NRA and our sheriffs and other people. The Democrats want us talking about issues that they want us talking about. So what should we be talking about? And I suggested we should be talking about education, because I think it's the number one issue for us as a state, for us as a party, and we should go beyond the discussion about charter schools. The problem in this state is 23% of the people that go to high school or through the system do not graduate. And when you don't graduate, 23%, those 23 out of 100 kids make half the income in their lifetime. They're a much higher likelihood to be incarcerated. They end up with a socioeconomic challenge they should have. And so as the party right now, we're talking about, even though our job is politics and getting people elected, we're going out there and talking about reasonable regulations. Oil and gas is suffering greatly right now. Why are we still stuck on an alternative mandate that doesn't make sense for a huge part of our economy, as an example?
That actually is a concern that I've had. And I'll tell you, I'll be straight with you here, Stephen. I think you probably already know this. I'm very committed to voting Libertarian coming up at this November for the U.S. Senate, for the president. I don't have a problem with that. But what I recognize here, and I deactivated my Facebook account yesterday, so you won't be able to reach me there anymore. But I had a reason that I did that. A lot of it came down to the incessant infighting in regards to presidential candidates. And I spent some time chewing on that particular issue of, wait a minute, why do we spend so much time talking about that individual candidate? We need to be talking about issues. So that's heading right down the path that you're wanting to promote there. Hey, I am not a fan of Donald Trump, and I am so tired of seeing the support of him on social media and, well, I guess in general throughout the nation, because he's still polling pretty well. And I look at it and I think, wait a minute, we need to discussing, you know, as you said, skipping over the Second Amendment issue, because perhaps that's a tired subject to be touching upon. But you mentioned education, and this is something that Republicans are very bad at talking about.
I agree. By the way, what are you going to do with all that extra time that you don't use on Facebook?
I'm going to start packing.
I mean, we got some volunteer opportunities we could talk about for you.
For the Libertarian Party, of course, because I know that's who you support. But, you know, it's shocking to me that we don't spend much time. When I say we, that's also my former personality as a Republican member, or I should say member of the Republican Party. And
sure.
The Democrats own education talk, and we're very bad about that. So what are you hearing across the state when you have these conversations with the common people?
So first of all, if we lead with the discussion regarding charter schools, because we believe in charter schools as a solution to a problem, I don't think that's a bad thing to believe in that as a solution. But I think when you realize you're trying to persuade people, you first have to get an agreement on what the problem is. And so by talking about a 23% failure in graduation rates, talking about the fact that 40% of those who do graduate are not ready to move on to the next step. They're not ready for college or, you know, an additional trade school, or even some of them are not socially ready to go to work. So that's 23% fail to graduate, 40% fail to graduate with the level of education that our Constitution implies. And then there's the other piece, which is, I like to ask the question, you know, third grade reading levels are such a strong indicator of graduation rates. The number is well above 80%. If you can read at the third grade level in third grade, you have a much higher percentage chance of graduating than we do actually graduate kids. Why is it that we run around 40% achieving the third grade reading level by third grade. And so you start asking the question, oh, so what would you do about that? I can tell you right now, third grade reading levels, and you know what reading does, reading allows you to study, allows you to learn, comprehend stuff. If that's the case, wouldn't you simply say, let's get rid of all other curriculums until they can read at the third grade level? And by bringing the issue up and talking about the impact on the economy, and more importantly, about the impact on the individual who's not prepared by the time they get through high school to be competitive and chase their own dream, it's really a travesty. And frankly, I believe we can all look back and say that teachers' unions and the Democrats have controlled our school system for long enough, and it's time to make changes because those numbers are not acceptable.
Well, and I don't spend much time, I should say, criticizing public education or their teachers' unions. I'd like to think that they have the best intentions in mind. But when you look at the statistics, I mean, you're saying that 23% within the state of Colorado, how do we rank nationally in graduation rates? Do you know that off the top of your head?
We're in the bottom half.
Okay, that's upsetting. And knowing the teachers' union presence here in the state of Colorado, them taking the routes and the tactics that they do to control it, you'd like to think that you should be able to drop the responsibility, or perhaps I should say irresponsibility, of that graduation rate and the inability to move forward even after graduation on the folks that should be responsible, and that's going to be the teachers and the unions.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with you about not wanting to blame people outright without a lot more information, but we tend to get into this argument about funding and the negative factor. And, you know, there's 55-60% of our budget at the state level goes toward education. You know, that's, you know, either right or wrong. But the real reality of it is things have to change. Students end their school year in May or June, and they lose a lot in the summertime. You know, right there in Greeley, you know, there's a group of people who actually take students in the summertime, put them through a five-week course to bring their educational level back up, and their graduation rates end up being much higher than average because they've made some adjustments. It's definitely not purely about money. It's about looking at why people do and don't graduate, where they're at third grade, where they're at an eighth grade. We need to make some changes. And if the teachers' union wants to come to us and say, okay, we're going to be part of the solution, we know things have to change, then I'm all ears.
But that's not what we're hearing. So
no.
Yeah.
No.
And I can't, I tend not to take that route, but I'd like to place the blame where it belongs, and that's where I'm going to place it for right now. And I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but I know the growth in homeschooling has increased significantly just within the past 5 years. And I know it's a frustration that a lot of parents have with the public education system.
Yeah, they do. In fact, when I go into Five Points at Denver or an NAACP meeting, we have the same exact discussions we do in the Republican Party meetings, which is, look, my kids need to be educated because once they're educated at the right level, they can then make whatever they want out of their life. That's the promise of America to begin with. And I'm not going to say that we should be blaming teachers or superintendents or unions. I'm saying we should solve the problem because we have lots of great teachers and great people with great hearts in education. The fact of the matter is the results are not there, and we've got to make some changes.
What else do you have that you think would be a great topic for those who are right of center to be what – conversations to start engaging in outside of education? What else is there?
You know, I'll go back to the discussions we have, and I spend a lot of time these days in meetings with unaffiliated or even Democrat voters just to listen to see how we can persuade people. And hospitals and healthcare come up, Obamacare comes up a lot. And, you know, I think as a party, we're the party of entrepreneurship and business. We've got to start going toward solving some serious problems for people and their health. We need to start curing some diseases again. And I think when I talk to people and they say, well, you know, you just hate Obamacare. And I said, no, you know, it's not about hating Obamacare. It's about making sure that we have the right processes, regulatory structure, and incentive in place to see us solve some problems like diabetes, like stopping strokes and heart attacks before they happen. Those are the kind of things you get from innovation and from some of the work that's being done on adult stem cell research and the things we're going to be able to do. But if you then tax the revenue of companies who exist in the medical space, you stifle innovation. And I think what we as a population have to say is, look, we're putting up with higher prices for healthcare through Obamacare. We're putting up with limitations on which doctors we can see and where we have access. Should we also put up with incentives that are disincentives to be innovative and help cure diseases so the rest of my life can be better? I don't think we should.
We need to run to our